Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, a podcast dedicated to offering a growth mindset platform for us entrepreneurs, where we discuss everything from business, mindset, to life in general. I'm your host, Catherine Polsonelli, a business organizing powerhouse, personal development strategist, and owner of Agent Services Plus, a company focused on helping entrepreneurs just like you build, grow, and be courageous in their business. I'm so excited to have you with us today. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to have some amazing conversations and fantastic takeaways. Let's jump right in. Welcome everyone today. So hello and welcome my guest, Oliver Bohr. I'm so excited to have you here today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the podcast. And I'm really excited to have a different perspective from someone else that's inside the business, but not necessarily working on a real estate business. So tell us a little bit about you and what your business is and kind of how you got into it.
Yeah, first off, I appreciate you having me. So a little bit about myself. So I've been in marketing for a little while now, and I've always kind of been, or I guess before I really got into what I'm doing now, before I got into my companies, it was always sort of between real estate or marketing, because I went to school for copywriting. So I was in marketing. I worked in some agencies, but I always wanted to be a self-starter. I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. So the obvious question is kind of like, which route do I go? Do I kind of stay marketing and stay in the agencies, or do I go and I guess do the most obvious entrepreneurial choice, the one that's the lowest barrier of entry, by being a real estate agent? And I don't really know what it was. Maybe it was just a moment. I was speaking to a friend of mine, and he's like, why don't you just start an agency? So I kind of did. And then I started marketing for real estate agents. And that's kind of how it started. Obviously, there was at the beginning, it was interesting. There was a lot of imposter syndrome, really the same imposter syndrome that anyone has. The only challenge was is that if I was marketing for real estate agents without being licensed myself, that was something that was difficult for me to kind of get over. And as much as I kind of overfilled my brain with as much as I could possibly know about marketing, there was always this nagging feeling at the back of my mind. It's like, you're not good enough because you're not an agent. You're not good enough because you're not an agent. And the reality is that even the process of like becoming licensed, like that was never really an option for me, because doing what I do, like I don't really have time to become licensed and then go and actually work as an agent. So the only reason that I would ever become licensed is just that I could tell people I'm licensed. And then it was interesting. Someone one time kind of told me in passing, like, well, you know, Tom Ferry isn't licensed. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh my God, that's such a relief. Holy smokes. No, because he's an absolute stud. Like he's so good at what he does, and I respect him and look up to him so much. But so I've always kind of done this where I make sure to stay within my lane. I make sure that anything I'm helping anybody with is stuff that I'm actually qualified to talk about and to teach. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my story about how I got to where we're at right now. And that's my story about how I got into marketing and creating a software company for realtors. And yeah.
I love that. So if you can you give us a little brief like description or breakdown of what exactly you said? It's CRM, right? And marketing based. Can you give me a little bit of insight? And then I got to go back to a question that you caught my attention on. So give us a little bit, because I'm curious to know a little bit more on what it is that you do on that marketing side as well. Because obviously that's something that all agents need, because we don't have time for that.
Yeah, for sure. So Innabox at its core is a CRM. So it's a CRM marketing suite. It's a very good CRM, but to be honest, as a little guy, because in the CRM/SaaS software as a service stage, I would be considered a little guy, because I'm competing with companies like KVCore, Follow Up Boss, and these are excellent, excellent companies. And so it was basically like, do I get into a feature war with them where I basically just try to outdo them with features? And I didn't really want to do that, because to be honest, most of the CRMs do the stuff that you need. Like some maybe look a little bit nicer than others. Some are simpler to use. But for the most part, like CRMs are as good as their user, right? The best CRM is the CRM that you use. So then it basically led me to think like, what is my differentiation? How do I figure out a way to be different and better than these CRMs? And it was actually less about the CRM itself and more about the ancillary services and and strategies that I can kind of put around it. Mm-hmm. So the idea initially was to create almost like the IKEA of CRMs versus the Home Depot of CRMs. That before IKEA, and I don't actually know chronologically speaking which one came first, but just for the analogy, let's say before IKEA, Home Depot was for contractors, for builders. You go there, mm-hmm. if you know exactly what you want to build, you've got all of the hardware and everything inside of there. You just go, you buy what you need, and then you build it.
Yeah.
CRMs
yeah.
has always been the same thing. You've kind of always got to know what you're trying to build. And then they have maybe some preset things, but for the most part, you got to know what you want to happen. And so the problem with most realtors is the lack of strategy above everything else. Like I mentioned, most CRMs can do, or they should be able to do most things that you really need, at least to a bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the problem. The problem is what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
So we almost set out to create like the IKEA of CRMs, where instead of saying like, I want a reputation management tool, we kind of said, well, what's the end result? You want to be on the first page of Google. Here's the step-by-step process to make that happen. And then we use the reputation management portion of our in-a-box software to get you to the first page of Google. But instead of it being like, you click inside of the reputation management and then you do some reputation management and let's hope you know what you're doing here. It's like, no, we're not going to do that. Here's the strategy. You're going to use this in this way. So that's why I kind of like to call it the IKEA of softwares. And then I think that idea kind of kept on spiraling into something that was even more awesome, if I may say so myself. Now we have like twice a week masterminds with people who are inside of Innerbox, kind of just talking about what's going on in their lives and their businesses and giving strategies to kind of get through there. And we created like a whole bunch of lead generation systems that really go far beyond the scope of what Innerbox can actually do. Because let's say, for example, cold calling, like we mm-hmm. have a power dialer inside of Innerbox. At the end of the day, like, you don't need that. You could pick up your phone and do it. So it really, as far as I'm concerned, transcends what Innerbox as a software could do. So this kind of community that we're building, the strategies that we're talking about, that we're giving to all of our clients, to everybody that's inside of Innerbox, it's really allowing them to create a much more holistic business where instead of having this here, that there, and this wherever, we're kind of putting them all together. So the software, the strategy, and then the services. And then kind of gets me into the final part of it. Those services is we have extra things like full service packages as well. If somebody needs to rebrand themselves, if somebody wants full service, let's say ads being run. So we can offer that stuff as well. So it's almost like a one-stop shop for everything that you need to scale your business. And that's why we call it Innerbox, because it's everything you need to scale your business in a box.
I love that. That's fantastic. And I feel like while there are some systems, like you were saying, like KV Core and like Boomtown, I know is another big one, Follow Up Boss. Some of those, they're beautiful, right? They're fantastic. But I think for a lot of people, they're almost too much, right? It's almost like it's this extreme overwhelm where a lot of people that are getting into it are getting into the business because we're relationship based, right? Or we're really great at selling stuff. So we kind of need that person to be like, here you go, right? Like on a silver platter, like we can do it for you. I love that. Cause there are some people like agents that I've met that have a huge business and they still do every bit themselves. And I'm like, that's fantastic if that's what you love. I am not. I want to push the easy button for certain things and get it done and over with, because I've realized that there are certain things I'm fantastic at and I should stay in that lane. And there are other things that I do not need to learn. Going to take way too long.
Exactly. But that's the insight. I mean, like literally right before we started recording this video, like we were talking about like tech issues that people are having, and it's annoying. It's frustrating. Like just let me like do my job, right? If you're having like Wi-Fi problems, for example, like, can you just like not right now? Can I just do my job? Like I have a call right now. Can you just operate? That's all I want from you. Just work. That's it. I don't need anything else.
Yes.
And this is like that insight, I think, is basically the foundational insight behind everything that we're doing. It's like realtors, like, or the good realtors, they just want to meet people, make relationships, help people. Like, that's it. I don't want to spend my time figuring out how to use a reputation management software so that I can maybe one day get in front of more people and maybe have conversations, but also maybe not. Like, what a pain. Like, just give it to me. Let me do it. That's it. So that's kind of how we're trying to approach this all.
I love that. And I think that that's fantastic for a lot of people that want to get into the business. But let's say, I've talked to several agents that are like, I'm not tech savvy, right? So having a very robust system doesn't do anything for them because they can't even figure out the simple functions of it. It stresses them out, right? So having something like that, I think is fantastic. And everyone is different, right? So it's the same thing like when you join a brokerage. I tell everyone that you join a brokerage because it works for you. It aligns with you. I think it should be the same way with your CRM. It should align with you. If you're that kind of person that doesn't like to touch stuff, you should find something like what you have that is all in a box and it can take care of a lot of things for you. If you're a tech person and you love diving into that stuff and creating your own things, by all means, you may want a system that's more complicated. It, you know, it aligns with you. And I think a lot of people don't realize that, or they get stuck with whatever right their brokerage gives them and they're like, oh, this is it. Right. But I love that. So I have to circle back around because you made a point when you were talking about when you originally got into business and you decided that you wanted to start this agency, which congratulations, because that's a hell of a thing in my personal opinion to start from scratch.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
But you talked about imposter syndrome. And I think that that's a huge thing that a lot of people go through when they get into any piece in business, right? In any type of entrepreneurial role, into real estate, whatever the case may be. Like, that's a huge thing that I feel like a lot of people struggle with. So can you give us a little bit of insight on some things that you use to kind of help you in that journey to kind of offset some of those thoughts?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the first thing is to recognize and almost like give up control. Like, imposter syndrome is always going to be there to some extent, mm-hmm. like no matter what. It happens to be like initially, like when I was starting out, it was even getting on a call with somebody and trying to offer some kind of value. I was like, oh shoot, but like, I don't know if it's going to be good enough for them or I don't. So that's kind of how it started. Like, so we're past that now. And now I feel mm-hmm. comfortable speaking to a room full of real estate agents. I'm feeling comfortable with what I have, where when they ask me something I don't know, I'll have absolutely no problem saying I don't know the answer to that question, because I'm very comfortable yeah. with what I do know. So I don't mind not knowing what I don't know. But then, like, for example, like, I wouldn't say that I'm a great salesman, just as an example. I actually don't think I am. I know it all. I know how, I understand the concept of it. I mm-hmm. understand you want to bridge the gap from where they are, where they want to be. And you want to kind of like start, you want to expand that gap as wide as possible and then kind of put the pieces in the middle so that they see that the bridge is actually a possibility. My problem is I don't play games with people. Like, I just want to talk to people. Yeah. And so if someone's saying to me, like, I have absolutely no way of generating transactions, my entire business is basically hanging on by a thread and I have money to invest, but I don't know where to invest it and I'm willing to put in the work. And they say everything that makes me believe, okay, we can absolutely crush this for you. If at the end of the day they go, let me just get one more transaction and then we'll reconnect. According to sales, I should be like, okay, so let me ask you a question then, sir. What do you think would happen if you don't get that transaction? Okay. And I have to kind of like coax them towards the answer of like, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. That's a bad idea. I should probably just sign up with somebody that can help me. And then the question is, do you believe I can? Yes or no? And if I can't, then that's fine. And if I can, then that's great.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I can't do that. I'm not very good at that. So I try to some extent, but I just want to say to them, like, listen, you're here because you're having a hard time finding transactions. I can offer you those transactions. And maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like you believe that I can. Mm-hmm. So to be like, oh, I got to get one more transaction beforehand, it's like, it could take you another year before you make that happen. And like, let's be real, like in a year from now, our lives are going to look very different.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to say to them, but I can't do that. So there are moments like there are different moments in different facets of my business that I believe I'll always feel like an imposter. So as a salesperson, like, I get it. I understand what's going on. So sometimes when my clients will be like asking me, let's say if they're calling a FSBO and the guy will say, I'm not interested in working with an agent. Like, I know what they need to do. I know the steps to take. Like, mm-hmm. Absolutely not, whatever. But I don't like doing that myself. So it always kind of feels a bit off, for example, me telling somebody to do something that I don't like doing myself.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of imposter syndrome, just for example, with that. The way that I kind of get through there is a couple of things. Number one is, I do try to be as transparent about everything that I do as possible. Mm-hmm. And I think something that's actually been really helpful for me is when I don't know the answer to something, I say I don't know. And then when people keep on coming back to me, it kind of made me realize, like, oh, shoot, like, I actually kind of do know what I'm talking about here. You know, I think the first thing I needed to do was to stop pretending in all facets of the word.
Yeah.
So I stopped pretending in every way that I could possibly fake it till I make it. Like, I didn't really do that. And I found that, like, I'm actually pretty good at this. But then in terms of the things that I still sometimes kind of do feel like an imposter, I think it's something that you got to learn to live with. It's like, it's almost like an evil sibling or something. Like, They're your family. Or like, if you have, that's actually like, I take medication for ADHD, but before I did, I always said like, I don't really want to, because it's almost like a bad family member. Like, I still love them, but like, they mess me up and it's toxic, but I still love them. Like, I think that was a bad strategy. I think that was a bad strategy with ADHD. So I started taking medication and I'm so much better for it. But I think with imposter syndrome, it's kind of the same thing. Like, listen, it's not going anywhere. It's part of the business. And this is a rite of passage. You've got to overcome. You've got to master yourself before you can make this happen. So don't try to get rid of imposter syndrome. Just embrace it, accept it, and be authentic in all facets of the word.
Yeah, I love that. And I really, that rings really true to me and to the people that I work with as well. When we talk about imposter syndrome or the ego or the fear that you have of moving forward, it's like, it's always there. It's just, you learn to overcome certain aspects of it. And then as you continue to grow, it comes out with the next level that you're at, right? So it's like, it's never, it's kind of the same. It's always in the back, but you have to learn to grow through it. You're always going to have it in the back of your head. You just learn how to handle it a little bit differently, right? It's the same thing with when you're dealing with your emotions, in my personal opinion, and you get stuck in something or you get frustrated in something, you can either let that emotion take over, or you can learn to assess it, deal with it. And even though it may still come up, you at least know how to handle it in a better light moving forward.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Honestly, that's exactly it.
And I love that you talked about Tom Ferry, because I don't think a lot of people pay attention to that, on how many people are in the business that are like rock stars, right? That have not actually been in the business. And it's funny that you said that, because I actually had, I had a coach that I worked with for a while, and I went through the same thing. I was like, you know, I haven't done a crap ton of transactions. I don't have like all these stats. I was like, but I know how to help people in their business, right? I know how to help people get organized. And she used Serena Williams as an example. And she talked about Serena's coach. And I was like, okay. And she's like, well, you know that, you know, her coach has been with her for, you know, like 20 something years. And I'm like, oh, okay. And she's like, well, do you think that the coach made it to the big leagues? And I'm like, and she was like, no, never. Right. They never went pro. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah, because they had a skill to teach people how to see above and beyond who they were. And I was like, what? Like, so like, yeah. You're like Tom Ferry, like that was like a mind blown moment that I was like, oh, and she's fantastic. So
these are all like, exactly, like these are kind of like limiting beliefs that I think that people have, and it's a really fine line between how do you know that you're actually qualified to help somebody. Like, if you're gonna hire a coach, there's so many, like, for example, crypto experts. Like, crypto hasn't been around for long enough for anybody to be an expert, like, all due respect. You can't call yourself an expert in crypto when, like, I don't know, you were working at McDonald's like a year ago. Like, you're just not an expert. It's impossible. So it's a fine line between that and no, I actually can help. And I think that it's basically the responsibility of the person who wants to hire somebody to make sure to do their due diligence, and not just to talk to the person in a sales capacity, but to look at their content, see what they're actually saying. Are they different as well? Because if they're saying stuff that everybody knows, they could be regurgitating from someone else. And there are so many fantastic people out there. And listen, man, I know these guys might technically be my competition, but I'd be the first to promote them, because they're absolutely legends, like Tom Ferry, like Brandon Moreno, like Ricky Caruth, for example. Like, these guys are amazing. And there was something you mentioned also about like Serena Williams' coach. One of the things I say to my clients is, don't, like, nobody's going to question your expertise unless you give them a reason to.
Ooh.
So if you're on a call with somebody and they say, well, what do you think is going to happen in a market? You could say, nobody really knows for sure. Or you could say, honestly, I could tell you, but it would be a guess. Like, you don't have to answer the question. You could say you don't know. But if you say something like, oh, I don't know, I'm kind of like new to this, so I'm not really so sure, like, I don't really know. Or if you try to predict something, no, absolutely, the market's going to go up and up and up and up and up, and it's not going to go down for a long, long time. Like, just be honest.
Yeah.
But if you give them a reason to question your expertise, then they will. But until you give them that reason, then they won't. So I think that's probably the first thing that I would say about battling imposter syndrome. The second thing is, do not under any circumstances be afraid to make a mistake, but do not under any circumstances make the same mistake more than once.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah.
So I think that though, I think between those two things, like don't give anyone a reason to question your expertise and be honest. And number two is don't make the same mistake twice and you'll be okay.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And I feel like that comes back like full circle to that society blanket statement of perfectionism, right? Because we feel like we have to be perfect in everything that we do. When honestly, I do feel like, and tell me if you agree with this, people are just looking for people. They're looking for honesty. They're looking for compassion and companionship and someone that they can actually trust, not someone that can drag them down a line because they think they know everything, just to turn around and have to reconnect or fix what they screwed up. And for, I know for me personally, I can't fib because I can't remember what the heck I said. Remember to tell you something different or go along with the story because I'm going to forget.
I got no, tell you the truth, I'm I think we may have gone on a tangent there. I'm not sure where we're at right now. But listen, man, the initial thing was basically how to kind of manage with the imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that it's basically just about embracing that it's going to happen. Don't be afraid to make mistakes, really. And then just once you make those mistakes, don't make them again.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love that. And I have to sidetrack for a minute because, you know, everybody knows this, but I send out questions to everyone before the podcast to just get some insight and some background about people. And I always love to read some of the things that you come up with, right? And yours really hit me when I asked, what are three things you feel helped create your success in your business? And you said perseverance, humility, but you said lack of ego.
Yeah.
So can you explain that a little bit on how that fits in with your success? Because I feel like that's a huge piece that needs to be out there that not a lot of people pay attention to.
Yeah. I think probably, and I would actually say humility is part of lack of ego as well. I think probably the worst thing that I've ever done for my business was either started to believe my own press it's very easy to look impressive as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
To tell you the truth, basically, if you have an Instagram account and you talk about business, like people just think you're successful. And it's pretty dumb because, like, for example, you'll see people online in a relationship and like they're going out for a walk and it's like, wow, they're so happy. It's like, what are you talking? You just watch them like holding hands for like a 2 second Instagram reel. What are you talking about? So there's so much of that out there. And it just cycles into each other, right? It perpetuates and it just keeps on going and it turns into this massive thing. And at the end of the day, you almost feel like isolated with things. Like for example, in my business, like it's almost like an isolating feeling that people think you're successful.
Mm-hmm.
Because you no longer have any room to struggle. Or at least if you are going to struggle, you now have to be extremely selective over who you share that with, right?
Yeah.
So when everybody kind of builds up these preconceptions about you, and that's something that I've always been aware of and concerned about, because it doesn't matter how successful you are, like being self-employed is freaking hard. And it's the greatest thing that I've ever done. It's the most enjoyable thing that I've ever done, but it's also the most difficult thing I've ever done. And I wouldn't wish it on anybody that wasn't predisposed to something like this. Mm-hmm. So where lack of ego comes in is, like I mentioned, the worst thing that I ever did was believe my own press. So what does that mean? When I start to look successful, which by the way, was before I actually was any kind of success, but people were like, oh, you're crushing it, man. And I fed into that. It was like a drug. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm just working hard. And this is the first thing I think that made me take a step back. And this was not conducive to my imposter syndrome. Let's just get that out of the way right now. But then I started basically offering advice to people that were in the same shoes as me, probably above me. And like when people were asking me, how do I do this? I was basically fronting like I knew exactly what I was talking about because I liked the fact that they were asking me. I wanted to be this expert. And I spent much less time listening to people that I should have been listening to and associated with people that I should have associated with, mm-hmm. and much more time with people that needed my help or that thought they needed my help. They didn't really, because I didn't know what I was talking about. And kind of like going out of my way to look like a big shot. And that was terrible for me. And not only did I stagnate, but I actually went down a little bit in my business because I just wasn't spending my time on the right things. And then I don't know what happened exactly, but I think it was, I remember the first time it happened, and I never made this mistake again. But the moment that I realized, like, shoot, what's going wrong in my business right now is that I've changed my method. Like, it used to be I'd go into a room to listen to everybody that was there, and then I started going to a room to talk. And that was terrible for me. It was terrible for my business. So that's kind of like that moment I decided, like, I'm out. I'm just listening to everybody that I possibly can. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just listening to everybody that I can. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start talking to people that are way better than me. Absolutely no ego. I'm going to every conversation thinking that there's something that they might be able to offer me. And like the moment that I did that, things turned around again and they kept on going up. And it was literally that one shift where instead of going into a room to talk, I went into a room to listen. But there are moments every single day where being like having an ego gets in the way, and not having an ego contributes to success. You were on my podcast, I was on your podcast because we both want to hear what each other has to say. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably one of the reasons that we resonate with each other is because when you talk, I freaking listen. And I can see that when I'm talking to you, you're listening to me as well. And so we've got this lack of ego in our relationship right now where it's very give and take. It's very collaborative and it's just easy. And so we're growing together the whole way up.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like, and I've heard this from a lot of people that I look up to, is if you don't see yourself as a lifelong learner, then you are going to get stuck in that ego, right? Or that feeling like you're better than everybody. And then that is when things are going to fall. So I do, and I know that there could be people that aren't where I am at right now, but I guarantee you they have a piece of advice that I can walk away with that can help me in my business. And it's just because maybe they went through something that I haven't yet. And so I need to hear that. So I love that you say that when you go into a room, you go in to listen and not to talk, because I think a lot of people do not pay attention to that. We do get stuck in that ego mentality where we do have to be the one that's, you know, the bright side of the room, right? That everyone has to be looking at me. And we do get stuck in that. And then it tears you down afterwards because you realize you were full of crap, or, oh my God, I shouldn't have said this, or why did I even? So it's like this, your own torture, in my personal opinion, because like imposter syndrome and stuff like that, you are going to constantly fight afterward with yourself because you know what you just did was inauthentic.
Right. Yeah. Honestly, it's everywhere. Like, I honestly think let's say even like getting up in the morning, the first thing you do is check your phone. Like some people do that. Like it's something that I struggle with. Just first thing in the morning, you just roll over you, but it's not good. Like my day starts off better when I can notice it. So it's like what feels better now versus what's actually better for me. So yes, right now, if I walk into a room wanting to feel like a big shot to talk to people, like it feels nice. Maybe the truth is it actually doesn't when you take a step back because you're like, what am I doing? Yeah. But when you don't take a step back, like again, turning on your phone first thing in the morning doesn't really feel nice if you just think about it for about half a second, but something drives you to do that. So I feel like walking into a room to be the one in a room where everybody's like, hey, look at me. Like, yeah, like maybe I guess it's like a dopamine hit. I don't even know what to call it. But yeah, it's basically about not having that ego and prioritizing tomorrow over today, and that's literally it. I mean, there's so many opportunities to prioritize tomorrow in your day, and they're tiny opportunities. For example, do you exercise, right? Do you eat healthy? Do you turn on your phone first thing in the morning, just as an example? Like there's hundreds of these opportunities throughout the day, right? Do you go on Instagram or to scroll, or do you go on Instagram to post and then get off? So these kinds of, and it's not, I actually wouldn't say it's just ego, but I do think that ego for me is the biggest one, because learning is the biggest thing that you can do to actually grow your business. Mm-hmm. And the second you have an ego, you can't learn anymore.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It's almost like it shuts it out. Like your brain tells you that, oh, that doesn't matter, right? Or, oh, that's not good enough. And I think that a lot of people do get stuck at that. And especially for real estate agents, when they're having those conversations in front of people for the very first time, it's a very big piece that I've seen consistently of trying to pretend for lack of better words, to pretend to be that person when, like you were saying, if you would just be honest and just have the conversation and you know that you can find the answer, right? That's not the problem. But that honesty piece really takes you back and kind of keeps you, like you said, in humility, in my personal opinion. It keeps you in that space where you appreciate the things around you and you can have that gratitude for the simple things around you and where you are growing, where if you're in a state of ego, you forget all of that. And you're constantly looking and searching for that next high. Like you're saying, like the dopamine hit, like you're constantly searching for that next thing to make you feel good. But what happens is that feel good may last for a few hours and then it starts to dim to like 1 hour and then a few minutes. And you're constantly pushing for the next thing and you're never going to find it.
Right. So I'll see it. And again, this is, it's prevalent everywhere, but like I'll start a conversation with somebody and I'll know in like 2 seconds if this person has any interest in talking to me. Right.
Yeah.
And I also try not to talk to people that aren't going to listen just because I want to maintain the integrity of the word that I'm saying. I want to maintain their value. Mm-hmm. And I think that by conversing with somebody that doesn't want to converse with me, I'm just cheapening myself. So obviously, like, that's a very blanket statement. So there's methodologies to that and everything. But like, let's say if I start talking to somebody and I'll be like, how long have you been in real estate?
Mm-hmm.
When their response is, you're not even a realtor, so don't talk to me. It's like, okay. Just gonna go right for the qualification there. But in my head, like, it's such a dumb thing because I want to get to know more people so that we can learn off of each other.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I look at business in a way that most people don't look at business because I am one thing and I'm one thing only. I'm a marketer. Mm-hmm. So all I think about is how real estate agents can build their brand, how they can make money, all of the things that people say, like, oh, we'll deal with that stuff like tomorrow. But right now I've got transactions I'm trying to deal with. Right now I've got clients that are all of the things basically that they need to be worrying about, but they don't mm-hmm. have time to worry about them. That's all I think about.
Yeah.
So for us to be able to get in a conversation and talk, I can learn about what's going on in the regular real estate market, like what's happening, let's say, the average experience when it comes to a normal transaction nowadays versus like, let's say, in 6 months ago. Like, I want to know those things because I need to be in a know.
Mm-hmm.
And if this individual would just talk to me for like 4 seconds, I can learn so much from them. And then I can give them 3, for example, really easy to leverage strategies that don't change the way that they're going about their business, that they'll be able to start generating listings with a little bit of effort. And like, there's such an opportunity there for us to learn off of each other. But the second the conversation starts, it's you're not a realtor, so no, I'm out. It's like a lack of humility for 4 seconds, and this could have been magical for both of us. And that's a shame because the more of these opportunities you can get, the better you'll be. And we both lose out because of that.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And that's one of the reasons why on my podcast, like, I try to bring in coaches from outside the real estate world and things like that, because I do feel like people outside of your business that aren't focusing on the exact same things you are can teach you so much because their brain is able to open up in that space where we have like 15 things that we're trying to remember how to do or focus on or whatever the case may be. Your brain only has so much capacity. So why not have that conversation with someone like you that can focus solely on what you don't have time for and at least listen? It's not going to hurt you to listen. It's not. But let me ask you this though, because I know that this is another huge thing within a lot of people's business. You know, when you have those conversations, you have those people that, let's say they reach out to you and then you start having a conversation and they kind of shut you down because you're not an agent. Do you feel like you have that space in your business to let that go and move on to the next person instead of holding on? Or how do you handle those situations?
I know the answer, I should say. No, the reality is
that answer.
The reality is that it is annoying. It's not about space in the business, because I don't go into conversations looking to profit off of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say, like, if I didn't have a business that I could make profit out of, just realistically, I probably wouldn't be going out trying to talk to a bunch of real estate agents. But as a business strategy, it's been effective for me to not go into conversations looking to get business out of them. It's just more beneficial for me to just learn from them and then help them. And then if it happens that they'll say to me like, okay, what do you actually do? Then we can get into that. That's fine.
Yeah.
Really what annoys me is, and again, I know it shouldn't, but it's a deficiency of mine, or it's something that I need to work on, but it does annoy me because number one, I really work hard on what I do. And my mission in my life and my business is there are way too many people in our space that are not good at what they do. And they're not even earnest about their efforts to become better.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a problem, and it's a plague. Like, people are wasting money left, right, and center on individuals and people that won't help them, which is why I'm so quick to promote the people that I believe that will help them.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, why are you promoting your competition? It's like, because their missions are aligned with mine.
Yeah.
Tom Ferry is good. I've never been in his coaching program, but I see the information that he has, that him and his Jason Pandan, I think his name is, they have good info. So yeah, I'll push that. Brandon Morenin, his reverse sales scripts that he has are legendary. They're just brilliant. Like, Brian Casella walks the walk. Like, he talks about just put content out there. It doesn't have to be pizzazz. Like, his YouTube videos are so not edited and no production value. And he's got hundreds of thousands of subscribers. Like, these guys mean something to me they're good. They're legit. So for somebody, let's say, to quickly dismiss me, it's like, it's hard for me because my entire mission is to create, to basically remove, to make it that there's no more room for people in this space that aren't actually good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's my mission. And you're going to like sit there and tell, like, basically dismiss the whole thing because I'm not licensed, when, like, to be honest, if I was to get licensed, the only reason at this point in time that I would get licensed is so that I could say to somebody, look, I am licensed, see?
Yeah.
Which is a very inauthentic way of doing things. It's like, there's no reason for me to do that. So if I get somebody that is so focused on the fact that I'm not licensed, they can't remove that from their heads, they're not my kind of people, to be honest, because they're a little bit closed-minded. And like I mentioned, I know objectively speaking, it shouldn't frustrate me, but I'm a very emotional dude. And so it does frustrate me. And there's also like an opportunity that I'm missing as well. Like, these people have insight. Everyone that I speak to, I grow from. But you know, that's the job that we sign up for. And you just got to keep going.
Yeah. But I love your authenticity. And I love that you aren't afraid to talk about that and tell everyone how you feel, right? Because obviously everybody's going to say, oh, just forget about it and move on. But it is, in reality, for a lot of us, it is very frustrating, right? And so I appreciate that you can say that. And I think that that's not necessarily a flaw. It's just how you handle things, but you understand that that's how you are. So therefore it may frustrate you to a degree, but it's because all you want to do is help. And I think for a lot of people out there that all we want to do is help, it's frustrating. I know it's frustrating for me when I talk with certain people and they don't want to have a conversation with me because they're like, well, you haven't done that much, right? Or you weren't in the business long enough. And I'm like, yeah, but I can help you do your systems and you will never be able to. And that's not being egotistical. It's just, I know what I'm good at. And so when you have that drive that you just want to help and you know you can, I completely understand what you're saying. It's extremely frustrating when people won't give you the time of day. But you also said something that I think a lot of people need to hear as well. You understand that that's not your people. And so while you do want to help and it is frustrating, you understand that you need to kind of move on as well and go to those people that are reaching out and asking for that help.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's about removing yourself from all of it, like the sales as well. And listen, most of the people, to be honest, because part of my job is like, let me just reach out to as many people as possible and just try to influence and help as many people as possible. Like, that basically is my job as far as I'm concerned. So I will get dismissed most of the time because, usually speaking, like, obviously, if you're reaching out to people to say, like, to start a conversation from nowhere, people will kind of just ignore your messages. Like, I don't actually mind that as much because the way that I see it, like, my conversation starters are an invitation to a conversation. Yeah. If they don't accept my invitation, like, that's totally fine. I don't mind that at all. Obviously, I'd like to talk to more people, but I don't mind that at all. what I don't like is when they take the time to, so they want to learn. That's the thing, because they took the time to look at what I have. But instead of looking at the value that I'm proposing, like if someone was to say to me, this strategy that you had would never work, it's stupid, I would actually love that. I'd be totally fine with that, because it's like, well, let's talk about that. Okay.
Yeah.
Why do you say that? And then maybe it's like, maybe that strategy is not for you. Like, I'd be totally okay with that. The problem is it's like, let's see, let's go straight to his credentials. And like, that's it. So like, I have like some degrees over here that I have in the background. Like, it almost like pains me that I even have them in the shot, because the only reason that I have them is because one time maybe somebody might say, what are your qualifications, sir? Yeah. It happens to be, it's interesting, it's never really happened. It goes back to what I said. Nobody will question your expertise if you don't give them a reason to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's your answer. How do I kind of reconcile that? Is it's not a business thing for me, because I'm never going to work with those people as far as I'm concerned. So it's not about a business frustration. The frustration is like, oh, we just have so much growing that we could do together. And
yeah,
no, because of something so trivial.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. And I absolutely love that. But it's also, it's a way for you to have your own boundary of knowing where you stand with people and who is worth your time and then who is not, if they're not even willing to give you the time, right? So I love that. And I think that more people need to be comfortable with that instead of chasing after those people that are not aligning with them anyway, because that's taking more of your time, in my personal opinion, than it is to go to these people who are over here that may be raising their hand and they're just looking for someone to have that conversation with, right? You're missing out on more opportunities. So I always like to end the podcast with a little bit of positivity. So can you give us a piece of positivity, or do you have a quote or anything like that that you find yourself going back to that helps you during certain times?
Okay. Good question. There's a lot. That's the truth. I'm trying to think about this. Can I do a few?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So just to kind of get a glimpse into how I was like obsessed with trying to do things differently and try to find ways of doing things that nobody had ever thought of before. So when I was younger, and I think it was like in ninth grade, we had to do journals like once a month. And in these journals, usually like people would do like, I don't know, like a poem or haiku or something like that. Like I always wanted to do something a little bit differently. I always like to like, I loved using but at the beginning of a sentence, like the word but.
Really?
Because I know my teachers, you don't use the word but at the beginning of a sentence, right? Or and. You don't use the word and at the beginning of a sentence. So I would find any reason that I could and to basically play around with the structure of the things that I was writing. Because in my head, if something is slightly grammatically, like, it's not incorrect per se, but let's just call it incorrect. If something is grammatically incorrect like that, I think that point hits harder. Like, to start a sentence with the word but, that sentence stands by itself. Or to like, even sometimes even do a line break. Anyway, that's a digression. But so I made a quote when I was in ninth grade for this. So one of my actual entries was just a quote, just a line, like a sentence. And the sentence was, perfection is a mistake in itself. And I don't think I knew quite what I was really saying. I think it sounded cool, but I've thought about it ever since. And I'm not 100% sure that it is a true statement, but I really believe that it is. I believe that perfection is a fallacy, because it's impossible. If something, I guess perfection is, unless you're saying perfection is like the absence of bad, which is, a lot of things could be perfect if there's just like, I guess, nothing bad in there. But for me, perfection is it couldn't get any better. First off, the idea of perfection is a fallacy, because even if there's no negative inside of something, you could still have more positive. So that inherently makes the idea of perfection flawed. And the second thing is, the strive for perfection is definitely a mistake. Like, it just doesn't exist, and it does nothing except for debilitate you. Like, when I speak to, let's say, ambitious kids, and they go, I want to be this massive company, I want to have my name on Skyrises, it's like, but they don't want to do the work to kind of start a small company and build up from there. Like, there's a massive gap between having no business and having the largest business in the universe. So find a place somewhere in between there and be okay not being the biggest one. I would also say probably something that I always go back to is, so that's the first one. Then the second one is, I would always go back to anytime things kind of are looking down, and this isn't a quote, this is just an idea. Anytime things are looking down or it's tough, there's two things I really think of. Is number one, every single time without fail, and I'm a religious person, so I believe that this is God kind of like in order to kind of graduate from one level to go to the next, he has to mm-hmm. basically put you at a low point to basically make sure that you can physically handle that next step, right?
Yeah.
So anytime I've hit what I feel like in business is like rock bottom, like things are just really tough and like we're stagnated and like, how do we get to this next level? And I'm just like, I'm just driving myself crazy with it. At the moment where it's like, I don't even know if there's an answer to this. That moment that I basically accept it and embrace it mm-hmm. is the moment I come back stronger. And I think there's a mixture of that and also recognizing that like we are so early on in our book of life. And the challenge is that we're the characters inside of our own book. So we can't step back and look at the size of the book and realize how many pages left we have.
Yeah.
But the ability to kind of think about, for example, where I was even 5 years ago versus where I'm at right now and say, like, if I could just have that much time again, like, how much more can I accomplish? And I'll still be a young buck then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think kind of just keeping perspective on everything, stop trying to be perfect, just do thing. Imperfect action beats inaction every single time. Those are some of the things that I tell myself literally every single day. And it really does help me.
I love that. And I love that you touched on that because that's a huge thing that I talk about with a lot of people that I speak with is perfectionism and how it's crap, right? You should be striving to be better than you were the day before every day, not striving for perfectionism, strive for improvement, right?
Yes.
I love that. I think that's fantastic. So thank you so much, Oliver, for being a part of the podcast. I had a blast with you. Can you tell everybody where they can find you, how they can connect and learn a little bit more and touch base with you?
Yeah, for sure. So you can look me up on Instagram or Facebook, just the name Oliver Bohr. Or you could go check out my podcast, The Real Marketer. It's on Spotify, Google Podcasts, all of those platforms. But yeah, like definitely reach out to me, text me, call me, whatever it is. I mean, it's not a cliche, it's the truth. I really am just looking to connect with more and more people. And I genuinely believe that everybody that I talk to has something to offer. And so literally it's in my best interest for somebody to reach out to me and say, hey, how's it going? Do you have any suggestions for me? Like, I love that stuff because then I will also say what's going on in your life. We'll both learn together. And so, yeah, so definitely look me up, definitely reach out. And I'd love to talk with you guys.
Awesome. I love that so much. So thank you so much, Oliver, and to everybody else. I hope you got some amazing takeaways. And for anybody that is struggling, understand that one step at a time is better than standing still, and be sure to do something positive each day for someone else. It really will help change your mindset. So until next time, you guys have a fantastic day.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review so we can keep the good stuff rolling. Got something you'd love to hear us discuss? Then be sure to message me on social media and let's work together to spread even more amazing content. And if you haven't yet connected with me on social media, be sure to follow along at Agent Services Plus. I'm so excited to connect with you on the next episode, and until next time, be sure to find things that help you learn, grow, and be inspired.